But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. That's what we just read, you know. He went into the temple. His parents took Him to the temple. He offered up the sacrifice. Jesus had great, of course, honor when it came to the law. He didn't have much patience with traditions and so forth, but great honor. I mean, he's the lawgiver. Why wouldn't He? And He put Himself under the law. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray for Your presence this morning. May the Holy Spirit of God stir to salvation. Just stir to salvation. Those who have any question at all, especially at this time of the year when we're celebrating the birth of our Savior, any question at all about where they go when they die, I pray they come this morning and trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Personal Savior. And they might go out of this place knowing God as their Heavenly Father, not just their Creator, but their Heavenly Father, because they've been born again into the family of God. May it be so, I pray in Jesus' name, and amen. The birth of our Lord Jesus Christ in this world is a wellspring of great joy. We associate the crucifixion with sorrow. Naturally, we do that because of the crucifixion, because Christ is paying our sin debt. Because my sins nailed Jesus to the cross. Your sins nailed Jesus to the cross. With that, there's a certain amount of sorrow. But also, with the resurrection, a great amount of joy. But it had to start, and it did start, at the birth of Christ. From His birth at Bethlehem, nothing but greatness, nothing but delight as we celebrate. We could sing with the angels the angelic song, which was fit to accompany that great event of the birth of Christ. They sang it, unto us a child is born, unto us the Son is given, the Scripture says. When the eternal God stooped down from heaven and assumed the nature of His own creature who had rebelled against Him, the deed could only mean much good for man. God in our nature is not God against us, but God with us. God taking on the form of man. God being identified with your nature, with my nature, but without sin forever and ever and ever. We may, as we read in the Gospel of Luke, in receiving Christ as Savior, know that we have seen by way of Calvary our salvation through Jesus Christ. We find in our Lord, the Lord Christ, what is needed today, a fountain of consolation. I am consoled about my future. I am consoled about my future. I know that I know that I know, according to the Word of God, when I die, I am going to heaven to be with Christ. Not because I deserved that, not because that was coming to me, because of anything I had done, but because of what Christ has done. And the Bible says that God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And those who are saved celebrate this time of the year, the birth of Christ, with greater exuberance, great excitement than any others do. The birth of Jesus Christ brings us hope beyond the grave. The birth of Jesus Christ brings us a certainty of good things in our future. He has become one flesh with us for the purpose of showing to us His great love. He is one with all of those who come to Him by faith and trust Him as personal Savior. We look now to the second coming of Christ. We celebrate the first coming of Christ. The Bible says in the Scriptures, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The Bible says in the Old Testament, then when He comes the second time, the bride will adorn herself with jewels and stand ready for her in Isaiah 61. The whole creation is waiting and groaning and travaileth and waiting for the coming of Christ. Christ came to save that which was lost. Not only souls that were lost, but all of creation travails. All of creation is waiting for the coming of Christ. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Jesus Christ came and did what you and I could not do. The Lord of heaven was come to earth. Can you imagine that? God was to take it upon Himself human nature. The fullness of time. The reservoir of time had to be filled up by the inflowing age after age after age after age after age. And when that time was full to the brim, the Son of God appeared. Jesus said, Lo, I come. The birth of Jesus Christ is the greatest and the grandest light of all history. Of all history, the birth of Christ. That which happened almost 2,000 years ago, that which would be the redemption of our redemption, the redemption of a lost world, is the greatest thing that's happened in the history of all mankind. Tremendous. The Old Testament scriptures knew by many types, and those types painted, appointed and painted a picture in the Old Testament of when Shiloh, Christ, had come, and the great sacrifice that was supposed to be offered. He came at a time when God had determined. God keeps good time. No events are left to chance. Your being here this morning is not left to chance. God has brought you here to speak to you. He said, well, suppose I come and I go without Christ. Does not matter. My obligation is to preach the gospel in the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. That's all I'm charged to do. God does the saving. The Holy Spirit of God does the working. In the Gospel of Acts, when Peter stood up and preached in the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, he preached, and many came to Christ. And many, their hearts were pricked, and they came to Christ. Some few chapters later, chapter 7, Stephen got up and preached in the same power of the Holy Ghost of God, and they stoned him. Same Holy Spirit, different people. See, the answer is not lying to the preacher. The answer is lying to what you decide to do when the Holy Ghost of God calls upon you for salvation. Two preachers, both filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Some walked away. Some walked away without Christ. Some stayed and stoned Stephen. Some got saved, as Peter preached. Our obligation is to operate in the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Then God takes the rest and moves on it. We're talking about the coming of Christ. God's will is that all who are with sin, and that's everybody, that they all might be saved, that they all might go to heaven. God sent forth His Son. Isn't that something? We move not towards God, but God moves toward us. God sent forth His Son. God sent forth His Son. I did not find that man moves toward God in repentance, seeking after his Maker. I find that the offended God Himself, in great compassion, broke the silence, came forth to bless His enemies. All good things begin with God. Came to bring us salvation by way of Jesus Christ. God sent forth His Son. Everything that Christ did was done by commission and authority of God the Father. The great Lord, when He was born at Bethlehem and assumed our nations, was by commission of God the Father. God said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him." And in hearing Him, you're hearing the Most High. He is God. He is the God-man. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. Notice this. God sent not an angel. God sent not an exalted creature, but His Son. His Son came. It's one of the mysteries. He was born in Bethlehem. God sent His Son to be born in Bethlehem. God sent His Son to be born in Bethlehem. Let it sink in. God sent His Son to be born in Bethlehem. Sounds like a contradiction. It is when it comes to humanity. But God sent His Son, made of a woman. God sent His Son. He was already in being, or else He could not have been sent. How could God send unless He had already been in being? While He was one with the Father, yet He must be distinct from the Father. He must have a personality separate from that of the Father. Otherwise, it couldn't be said that God sent His Son. God the Father was not made of a woman, nor was under the law, but only God the Son was made of woman and under the law. Tremendous, it's beyond us. Beyond us. God, that's what the text says. God sent forth His Son, made a woman, made under the law. It's amazing. He's God's Son. He's come to die for man. And why that God should have only one begotten Son, should have sent Him to uplift us, to save us. The messenger to man must be none other than God's own Son. Oh, what great dignity here. It is the Lord. He is the Lord of angels. He that was born of Mary. He that is without sin. He to whom made everything. He who made everything wrapped in swaddling bands of cloth. He has come to save weak creatures like you and me and to take upon Himself our very nature. He is the Son of God. Glory to his blessed name. He's come to die for the sins of man. Born of a woman, made to be born of a woman. Christ was really and truly of the substance of his mother, as certainly as any other infant that is born into the world. And so God did not create human nature of Christ apart and then transmit it to mortal existence here on earth by some special means. But his son was made and born of a woman. He is of our race, a man like ourselves, and not man of another stock. He is like ourselves. He is made of our race. He is made of our flesh, but without sin. He is God put in our flesh, in man's flesh, and identified with man forever and ever. He is born of a woman, but he's not born of a man. The Holy Spirit overshadowed the virgin, and that holy thing was born of her without the original sin which pertains to our race by natural descent. He is a true humanity, though free from sin. It's hard for us to take that. It's such a rebellion in the 16th and 17th and 18th century when it came to the humanity of Christ. That over these years, these several hundred years, they find it hard-pressed to talk about the very humanity of Christ, lest we forget the deity of Christ. And so mostly and rightfully, we should be talking about the God-man. But also, he is the God-man. All man. And yet in purity and holiness, all God. Amazing. Not 50% man and 50% God, but all of each, 100% of each. He willed to be man. And being a man, he accepted the position and stood in the place of man as being subject to the law. When they took him for circumcision according to the law, he submitted to that. He was publicly declared that he was under the law, came to die for your sins and mine, taking our place. He died the just for the unjust. What a difference. Man to live in the New Testament time, to live on this side of Calvary. In the Old Testament, the priests, and they did their teaching by hyssop, and they would use many items that God had given them by way of presenting in type Christ who was to come. And the teaching that took place, and the symbols, and the shadows, and the emblems, and all of that during the Old Testament time. But you and I on this side of Calvary. You and I on this side of the birth of Christ. The old economy was dim with smoke, concealed with curtains, and guarded with two for me unapproached. But now we come to the time when we can go before the throne of Almighty God boldly in the name of Christ. This is the best time. They're all good times because they're God's time. This is the best time. Prophets spoke of Christ, but they were mostly and more frequently spoke of the lamentations, annunciations, and the law. One day with Christ is worth a half century with Moses. One day with Christ is worth a half century with Moses and the law. When Jesus came, believers began to hear the Father and His love. The Father's grace that comes through Jesus Christ. The kingdom that is prepared for you and for those that are in Christ. And they heard of the indwelling Holy Spirit. God's people are saved because God sent forth a Son made of a woman, made under the law. He kept the law. And by His righteousness, He covers all believers who come to Him. The joy, like this. I'll be a brother's forever. I'll be a brother's forever. In heaven, we'll not change our names in that sense. In heaven, we'll recognize each other. I do not know. Someone say all of our features in heaven will be perfected. I hope so. I need some ear adjustment. I hope so. I need some height adjustment. Brother Wayne got my size. There's a confusion. We were both waiting in line. I was supposed to get his size and supposed to be in the Marines and all of that. And I missed it and got the Army and he got my size. I do not know if that will be perfect. I do not know. But I know we'll recognize each other there. But the Bible says that I've been adopted into the family of God. The Bible says that we are brothers with Christ in that sense. I'm in the family of God. I'm in the family of God. I've been born to the family of God. If you're saved, you're born again, you're in the family. That's going to last forever and ever and ever and ever. Joint heirs with Christ. I'm not going to get anything from the brother's family. You know, they've sold all the siblings that have stolen it, you know. And you don't got such a brother and sister. They all sold it and spent it all. You know how that is. You go through the same thing. There's nothing left. There's nothing left. We're not getting anything at all. Nothing left at all. He even took the shotgun. That's the only thing I wanted, the shotgun. Took the shotgun. But I get with Christ. Join heirs with Jesus. Get all of that. Get all of that. Join heirs with Him. The perpetual relationship with Jesus Christ. Adopted into the family of God. Jesus made a woman, made an altar. He might come in fullness with us and treat in fellowship with us as adopted sons. This is just going to throw you off because you'll just rebel against this. But the same Spirit that was in Christ Jesus is in me. I need to be quiet. I won't say amen. I might be wrong. Well, you could say that. You know the kind of preaching goes on here. You could be wrong a lot. But they wouldn't be wrong on this. The same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead lives within me. Lives within you. Yeah? Good, isn't it? Be in me forever and ever and ever. No, drop off this old flesh. Then I'll have a glorified body. Now, I like feeling. I like in the summertime the air conditioner blowing in my face. I like to ratchet that heat up to about 80 degrees when Miss Needle leaves the living room. Get that thing going. And then cut it back into the 74, the required setting. Cut it back to 74, and she comes in and says, "Man, it's 78. I said, "Yeah, it's warm outside." Yes, it's getting warm outside. Getting warm outside, you know, it's the warm outside coming from the outside. I like to do that. So I like feelings. I like feelings. And I don't know what's going to happen. Full of the Holy Ghost of God, and the rapture takes place, and the Lord calls out, and all of a sudden, no flesh to hold back, celebrating who I am in Christ, celebrating my salvation. I mean, I celebrate it now in the flesh. I celebrate it now limited. But you talking about somebody getting happy when I drop off this old veil of flesh and now the Holy Spirit wide open in me. You talk about having a fit. You better clean off a spot. We're going to drop it off. We celebrate now. But can you imagine that? The flesh is gone. Man, it's no wonder all those creatures up there singing all around the throne of God don't have the flesh to hold them back. Man, that's going to be great. You ignite the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says that Jesus had the Holy Ghost of God without measure. Woo! Without measure. Man, that's going to be tremendous. Join heirs with Christ. Join heirs. The same Spirit that's in Christ Jesus is in you. It's in me. The same Spirit which descended upon Christ in the waters of baptism also descended upon me when I was saved. Right? I'm totally saved. My body's not been delivered yet. But order's on the way for that to happen, don't you know? They've been written up. It's been reserved. I have the Holy Spirit of God in me now, and you do now, to guide us and to be a comfort. Man, we need that. We need that. Jesus has come, and it says, I like this, and I have to wind down here. And because your sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Jesus has come us to give us the cry, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. God, who shall call the multitude of the slain from the graves to live. I hope I go in the rapture. I'll do the same thing, call from the grave, but good night. I hope I go in the rapture. I'd sure like to go up in the rapture. It'll be calling forth from the grave. Thou shalt call and I shall answer thee. Smile on me. And I will smile back and say, my Father, my Father. My Father forever. My Savior forever. Jesus didn't talk all that much about heaven. He knew if we knew about heaven the way it really is, we'd just pine away with our longing to be there. He gave a good balance so we could be working for Him and try to get folks to go to be there with Him. I shall call. I wonder this. I shall answer thee. Smile on me. I will smile back. I wonder if I'm in the grave, you know? wonder if I'm any good at the call. I guess I would smile, wouldn't you think so? I guess we would, wouldn't we smile? We're in the grave and our soul is united with our body and caught up. I guess we would. I guess we would. Do you have a Heavenly Father? I know you have an earthly father, you wouldn't be here. Do you have a Heavenly Father? Or is He just your Creator? Is He just your Creator? Or is He your Father? Is He your Father? Huh? To be called from the grave without Christ would not be a smile, beloved. Would not be a smile. Would not be a smile. No. Adam. But when He comes, my Father, both of my fathers are in heaven. Both of them. Both of them. You have a Father, a Heavenly Father, and a Heavenly Father. The way you get Him is to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's how you get born into the family of God. And what do I do? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's you. That's you. You need to receive Christ as Savior. So what do I do? An invitation again. If you move to the front, you'll have someone take the Bible. Show you I can know that you know that you know that you know. If you died today, you'd go to heaven. How who? Should we miss the rapture? And I hope we don't, but should we miss it? I hope when your name is called, I hope it'll be a smile. I hope it'll be a smile. If you know not Christ as Savior, it won't be.